Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. We want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of the show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We want to welcome you. If this is your first time to listening to the UR Tennis Network, we have been on the air. This is our fourth year of broadcasting. We have over 1,200 hours of tennis interviews that we put on the we broadcast them live first, and now they're on the internet, available through iTunes and also www.blogtalkradio.com. We like to think of ourselves as a complement to the network TVs that are out there. We do things that they just cannot do or choose not to do, just depending upon how you look at things. We go after the tennis stories that just most people would not care to go after on a normal basis. These are the stories that you're not going to see on network TV because they don't make the professional type money, or they're not the big time stories that the networks have enough time to devote 5 to 10 minutes to when they're covering the tournaments. And yet we spend an hour each week trying to bring you a story that we believe is a great tennis story, is a great avenue for people in the tennis world to find out more information about tennis and just the overall good time to spend an hour in this medium, this podcast medium, and also the live broadcast. And so excited that you've joined us today. We want to remind you that we do offer other shows on Monday morning at 11 o'clock. We have Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. She comes on and she talks about junior tennis, broadcasting out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wednesday before I come on the air is American Tennis with Coach Chuck Creasy. Chuck, one of the greatest coaches in the history of American tennis, and he delves into the issues related to American tennis. And then I come on after that, and I talk about college tennis, and we've got a wealth of information that is happening in college tennis. And then this Thursday, we launch another show, Holding Court. This Thursday, the guest will be Brian Gottfried. Holding Court is going to be hosted by David McIsaac and BJ Paul. And these two guys are out of the the Maryland area, the College Park, Maryland area, out of the Junior Tennis Champions Center, out at College Park, and we're so excited that they have decided to join the network. They're going to put forth a podcast and bring in some different attitudes. So hopefully. To the network and to the tennis world, and we're excited that they have joined us. And we're always looking for other people that can talk tennis. Remember, it is an hour worth of your time each week. We prefer passionate people, not just people that can come in and do 4 to 6 weeks of this. It takes a little bit of time, a little bit of preparation. You've got to be willing to call people, sometimes people you don't know, and be willing to visit with them about some common ground. You can always reach me at jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com. Love to visit with you about what's going on. Today's show, a little bit different for me. I've got Coach Hank Bessinger coming on the air. He's from Fresno City College out in California. As a former junior college coach myself, I'm excited about today. California JUCOs on the West Coast, they run an entirely different program than the rest of the JUCOs in the United States, and we're going to find out about them and about Coach Bessinger's run to his championship, his team championship out there, and get some information about this. This is the first time we've had the California JUCOs represented, and we're excited to have him on air. And I'm going to get to him in just a second. I've got a couple other news items that I want to get to first. Before I bring him in, we've had a couple of good things happen here for college tennis, and this week the Rogers Cup is going on. Not so good news if you're an American and you like college tennis as far as singles go. John Isner not having a great summer here, people, and this is bad, bad news for American tennis. College tennis, we've always been able to say that John Isner is a great product. College tennis is a great stepping stone for pro tennis with Isner on his way out. The next two great Americans that are out there, Bradley Conn and Stevie Johnson, they are in the 60s as far as the rankings go, and the idea of having the highest-ranking American player in the world in the 60s is just not exciting to me as an American tennis fan. So we are in some dire straits here. I hope that Isner can mentally and emotionally recover from these 2 weeks that he's had where he's had first-round losses and get ready to play some great ball at the U.S. Open. We'll look forward to that. As we also know, the Bryans are aging. The doubles, not American tennis, as we've been saying here for a while, is hurting. The other thing that came out, and this happened today, this happened actually just a couple of hours ago, and this is a topic that we have been covering here for a while. And as many of you know, if you've been listening to the show, we have talked about the unionization of athletes. We've been talking about the Super Five conferences and their ideas here of destruction to the non-revenue generating sports, which, you know, tennis, golf, swimming, wrestling, volleyball. There are many people in the United States of America that are excited about the upcoming football season. They're excited about the upcoming basketball season. I am not one of those people. And I'm being in Texas. I've loved football for many years, but as I see this thing play out, people in the tennis world better wake up and realize that college tennis could be on its way out as we know it at the NCAA Division I level. And this is something that I want to let you know about. This came out just like I said today. This is the title of this article. The NCAA may let its top conferences play by their own rules. And this is scary stuff here. This is from the New York Times today by Mark Tracy. And it came out today online, actually produced yesterday. And what it says here is that the so-called Big Five conferences. Remember, this is the Pac-12, the Big 12, which really isn't 12 teams, the Big 10, which really isn't 10 teams, the SEC and the ACC have kind of banded together here and kind of gotten their own idea of how to run the NCAA, and apparently the NCAA is clearing the way for them to do so. With their glittering facilities and huge stadiums, they've kind of long been on their own tier here. They have a vote this Thursday that would make them kind of have their own first-class status and make it official, and it would grant them greater autonomy from the NCAA rules that are currently applied across 32 conferences and 350 institutions. And basically what you're going to see here is these five super conferences, which in essence represent about 64, 65 teams, which is ironically the same number you would need to create an NCAA 64 basketball tournament, tennis tournament, baseball tournament, football playoff system, and so on and so forth. And these new rules would widen the gulf, as they're calling it, between these 65 universities and the wealthiest conferences. And what it would do here is it would allow these five super conferences to, in essence, pay their student athletes. Now, it's not a lot, and this is what they're going to say. You know, we're not paying them a lot, and they have a term here that they call it, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. It's an interesting idea here. What they're going to try to do here is they're going to allow these Big Five super conferences to accommodate their athletes in a way that reflects what they call the new reality of college sports. And they want to try to maintain their tie to higher education, which is going to be really interesting as you wade through this minefield. They say that wealthier universities should not be impeded from expanding their benefits just because some institutions would struggle to afford them. And keep in mind, this is the directional institutions. Here in Texas, we would consider that like the SMUs, the University of Houston's. And what it is it would say that the current restrictions of scholarships to the is that it's tuition, fees, room, board, and required course-related books. The new measure would allow athletes to receive the full cost of attendance, and that's the key phrase there, the full cost of attendance, is something that is generally a few, quote, and unquote, a few thousand dollars higher. The Big Five officials have also suggested that they would use autonomy to uniformly give athletes better medical coverage and greater leeway to borrow against future earnings to purchase disability insurance. Under the new model, and I'm quoting this, the rulemaking body would include a representative from each institution plus three athletes from each conference. The number of scholarships awarded per sport would remain the same for all Division I universities, and all Division I institutions would continue to participate in championships and revenue sharings. Any other Division I conference or university pending its conference approval could opt into the Big Five rules. Notre Dame, which is an independent in football but is in the ACC and Hockey East and other sports, would be treated as a Big Five institution. So you can opt in. This is what you're saying. Great. So if you think you can make the money, go ahead and opt into our proposal. Now, right quick, and I'm going to get to Coach Bessinger here in just a little bit, but I want to say this. If the board rejects the model, it could prompt a more severe break. Big Five commissioners have suggested that in the event they would consider much more drastic measures, departing from the NCAA and taking their teams and the billions in revenue they produce to a so-called Division IV. And we've talked about this before, and this is scary stuff. And I want to let you know that if this happens, if this vote goes through, what you could see here is that there would create an imbalance between the wealthy football powerhouses and everyone else, both on the field and recruiting, and sports like swimming, tennis, volleyball, which do not generate revenue, could be eliminated in an effort to control costs. And then trying to stay within Title IX, and changes would ultimately erode the academic value of the student-athlete experience. The NCAA has been trying to keep its parentheses around this student-athlete experience, and it's just being real hard to do when you start talking about billions of dollars generated by football and basketball. And people, I've been trying to say this for a while, and we've had guests on the show that have been talking about this. If Thursday's vote goes through, people, you're going to start kissing men's tennis programs goodbye, right and left. And it's going to start starting next year, 2015, 2016, 2017, as these cases clear the courts. We're going to have fewer and fewer NCAA Division I men's teams out there, fewer places for our young men to play tennis, and then I have a feeling the women's programs are going to go by after that. They just got away, figured out here where Title IX is not going to save the day here. So, and we're going to continue covering this. I've lined up some guests in the future. We're going to have Barry Buss back on in the future. I've lined up Dale Hansen. Dale is one of the top news reporters in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And we're going to have him on to talk about this. So, you know, we'll keep you posted on this, always covering it from a tennis perspective. So, okay, I'm going to try to bring in, I believe I've got Coach Hank Bessinger here. We're going to see if we can bring him in. Hi, Coach Bessinger, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Fine, Coach. I apologize for keeping you on the hold there for a while. That news just came across. I wanted to get it out to the fans and stuff. So I always try to start the show here, Hank. There are going to be people, and they have no idea where Fresno City College is, and they're going to have, Hank, if you would for a moment, just give us some biographical information about yourself.
Sounds good. I had a unique experience to coach my little brother, who was actually on the tennis team, and it was also unique because I played for Coach Steve Loop, who was the coach at the time I was there in 2008. I played 2 years there, and then I was able to transfer to a Division I college in New York called Marist. And after completing my degree there, I was able to coach a few years and then took over Coach Loop's job for 1 year at Fresno City. And they had won the state championship two previous years in a row. My brother was able to play last year, win the state championship, and then I was able to coach him this last year. And we were able to do it again. So in the last 3 years, Fresno City College has gone 58-0. And we've just been really successful. As far as our rules and regulations go, I think you were bringing up some of those. We're able to have a few more foreign players compared to other, you know, states. I believe that their limit is two foreign players per team. I believe in our top six, we only had two foreign players in our top six. The rest were American. So,
yeah, Coach, now,
overall, what was that?
No, go ahead. You can finish your statement.
Overall, it was just a great season, really unique experience, and just a great group of guys. We had our number one, his name was Matt Alves. He was a blue chip coming out of high school. And played at a really high level. Our number two we had on our team, his name was Scott Gray. I'm sorry, our number two is actually, sorry, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Go ahead, Coach.
Okay. Our number two is Scott Gray. My brother played number five for us, was able to clinch the match in the final. And him and his doubles partner were really successful. They played number one for us all season, and they actually took second in the nation in the first semester when they went to Florida. So had a really good team, but the state final was definitely a great match, and we were able to clinch it, so it was great.
Coach, now we're going to take this a little bit and try to kind of build this up and let you describe this, because I mean this is my first time to really talk to a coach from the California JUCO system. I mean, I've had some experience with you guys at the small college championship. I'm a former junior college coach myself here in Texas, and to be real honest, I mean, we saw you guys basically one time a year at the small college championship. So, if you can, as we go through this, just kind of help explain this to us, and we'll walk through and build up and get to that championship moment again. Now, you guys play a full season with the schedule. Do you play a fall and a spring schedule?
We have fall tournaments that we play in, including the ITA tournament, which you play everybody. For us, we play everybody in the Northern California division, and then from there, whoever wins that takes, first and second. The second place can get a wild card to go to Florida for the national tournament. So our number one player for our team, his name is Matt Alch. He was able to win the singles division. My brother and his doubles partner that was from France was able to win the doubles division. So we had a singles and doubles representative that went to Florida for the national tournament. Matt Alves was able to take second in the singles division, and my brother Alec Bessinger and his doubles partner Adrian Varen were able to take second in the doubles. So very successful all around. We had a great team. And that was, so pretty much to answer your question, in the first semester, that's when we're doing, different tournaments and stuff and different preseason matches against some of the different colleges. But this season we had 19 matches in total that we played.
What's your fall season? Do you get to play, are you invited to different divisional tournaments? In other words, do you play Division One opponents? Do you play Division Two, NAIA, Division Three opponents?
Yeah, luckily we were able to be invited to, we call it the Bulldog Classic, Fresno State. They hold the tournament each year where different colleges come in, Cal Poly and Oregon comes in, and some other Division One colleges, and they throw us junior college players in the mix. And so that's always really beneficial to us, and we definitely get a good feel, and, we're able to play some doubles against those guys and singles and really test some of our players. So that's always a great tournament that we have, and we're able to, have a great relationship with Fresno State, and they put us in there, so it's always nice.
Yeah, so do you play, how many events do you end up playing in the fall? Is it three or four?
Yeah, usually around three or four. We have like I said, a couple different tournaments that we play in, and one locally that we have all the players play in as well. It's the Fresno City Championships. There's about a $5,000 to $10,000, money prize that you get if you win it, and that's always really competitive. A lot of the Fresno State players in there, a lot of the FGU, Fresno Pacific University players, which is a D2 here in town. So just really good competition in that tournament, and really gets our players, a good feel for, what they're going to be seeing towards the end of the year. Because as far as our competition goes, during the year we have some good competitors, but there's also some ones that, the bottom half of our team can take care of, and we don't even really use our top six. We, on our team this year, I think we had about 16 guys, which is quite a bit for a tennis team. If you think about it, only six or seven are going to be playing each match.
Yeah. Well, Coach, but you've gone 58-0 in the last 3 years. I mean, you're getting quite a reputation out there, so I can understand why people want to come.
Yeah, the thing is the way that Coach Loop is, Coach Steve Loop is the one that really built this program up and, ran the show. And he pretty much just started it as putting in the hard work and putting in the time in the off season, so that when it's time to go, when it's go time, you're ready and you're prepared. And so we go through pretty strenuous workouts over the course of the year, and really – that I believe that's what makes all these players, mentally and physically tough and ready for the big time moments. And everybody builds, gets really close through that time when they're working, side by side really hard and really breaking down their body. And so that when it is time and there's the pressure's on them, that's when they, you know, we're coming through in the really big moments for us. And especially in the state championship, the biggest thing for us all year has always been doubles. And we had a really big, you know, we had a really big discussion with the whole team. We sat everybody down and we wanted to ask, you know, the players, what do you guys think? You guys think that, you know, we should be keeping, you know, my brother Alec and his partner at number one like we've had them all year, or should we put our number one Matt Alves and his doubles partner at number one? And they really trusted in, you know, my brother and his partner to take care of it, and it paid off really big for us. And we ended up going up 3-0 after doubles. We start with doubles. We went up 3-0 on them, and then we were able to win our two singles matches, and we actually needed that 3-0 sweep in doubles because our number one player in singles was hurt. He got hurt after the first set, and our number three lost really quick, and our number four was in a battle, and our number six lost in pretty quick as well. So really it came down to our number two and our number five, and our number two was able to handle it, and then my brother at number five was in a third set battle, and he ended up clinching it for us. So it was a great moment.
Yeah, now, Coach, you get a Gatorade bath after that happens, or are the players excited? What happened?
You know, everybody stormed the court, and I was actually the first one to grab my brother, and able to shed a few tears with him, and really it was just a great moment because I had an opportunity to win a state championship when I was in college playing for Steve Loop in 2008, and we came up short. We just didn't have the team that, you know, my brother did or anything like that. And so to be able to come in as a coach and win it that way, you know, I think kind of redeemed myself and my brother and the team that I was able to coach redeem me, you know.
Sure. And, you know, it's got to be an extra, I mean, not many people out there, coaches, get to spend that time with a family member, a brother. What a special year.
Definitely. We've always had a really close bond, and towards the end of that year, it was, I mean, closer than ever, and never thought it could have been, you know, closer than it already was, but it definitely was a great experience, and you know, I was really thankful that I had the opportunity to do that.
Coach, does that help that relationship with your brother? Does that help with other members on the team?
Definitely, you know, because I made sure that, you know, my brother, you know, listened to me and you know, set the example out there, and made sure that he was a leader for the rest of the team. And he already is a leader, but, you know, if it's a little bit hard to, you know, lead a team as a young coach if the brother on the team isn't really listening to you. So you definitely have to have, you know, him in check and in his place. Otherwise, you know, the whole team might be running around. But that was never an issue. We always always were on the same page, and definitely had a really hardworking team. So that was the biggest thing for us.
Well, Coach, the teams have been undefeated the last three seasons. I mean, is that that pressure's got to be building over there at the college?
Yeah, the college, you know, there's a lot of great programs and a lot of great coaches at that college. Coach Maddock is the basketball coach there, the men's basketball coach. And, I mean, if you looked up his record and the way he brings in kids and changes their lives with the program that he runs, it's really inspiring. We learned a lot from that team, and how to run our practices and how to change these kids' lives, not only on the court but off the court. And because there's always more to life than tennis, and you know what you're going to be doing after tennis. And you learn a lot of life lessons from playing tennis and competing and all that stuff. And so as far as all the programs go there, it is definitely a winning college. And we were just happy to be able to add to that and, you know, really try to set a tone and, you know, give tennis, you know, a name and kind of put them on the map. Because I'm sure, as you know, tennis doesn't get the respect that, you know, it should, and people don't really understand how tough of a sport it is. And there's a lot more respect towards basketball or, you know, football and stuff like that. But Coach Maddock always gave us a lot of love and a lot of respect. So it was a really great relationship we had with him. And other than that, I just the biggest thing for our program and everything over the last, you know, 10, 15 years that Loop has been there and I was able to coach there, it's just always been about putting in the work. You put in the work, you're gonna get the results. And the biggest thing is all the kids on the team really bought in. There weren't any kids that didn't buy in, you know. And if any of the kids weren't buying in at practice, the others made sure to, you know, pick them up and tell them, hey, this is what we're going for, and we're going for that ring, and to always stay hungry. And that's what everybody did. Everybody was always staying hungry for that state championship ring. And, I mean, a lot of those players that were new to the team this last year, they saw the size of our ring and what it looked like from the last year, and it made them really excited. I mean, we got a pretty big state championship ring, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great motivator. Coach, can you give us some kind of idea of how big Fresno City College is? How many students?
You know what? They have quite a few students that are enrolled at Fresno City College. As far as the college goes, I wouldn't say it's a very big college at all. I mean, all of our players on our team, just about, that were playing, besides my brother, were from out of town. We had, you know, kids from the Bay Area, and from Sacramento, Turlock, Modesto, and then we had kids from Australia, France, Italy on our team, and, you know, just kind of all over the map, you know. And as far as, you know, local talent goes, I mean, we have some kids that we were able to bring in, but we also have a lot of kids that come in from around the state of California, which is great. You know, Fresno City College is really well known in the NorCal area as far as being one of the top colleges to compete for a state championship every year. Southern California, they always have, you know, three or four great teams that are always competing at a high level. But NorCal, usually between American River College and Fresno City College, that are really competing for that state championship.
Well, Coach, are you guys on the semester system, or are you on the quarter system there at Fresno?
We're on the semester system. So there's two semesters. It goes about August to, you know, December, and then January to May. So
when you bring those guys back in January, do you get started right away, or do you take a few weeks to practice, or what's your philosophy there?
You know what? We get these guys in August, and we start training with them and everything else, and we really get them, you know, that's when we're doing 99% of our conditioning and fitness. We're not spending a lot of time on the courts. Most of the time it's just really working these guys so that they can be on the court all day and night if they have to, and really get into a battle if they need to. And sometimes we're able to bring in some new guys in January, you know, that are wanting to be on the team, and maybe they weren't able to come in August. Other times we just have the same guys. So come January, you know, most of these guys leave from, you know, December, you know, I would say 20th until January 10th. So we don't see them for, you know, almost a month. And when they come back, sometimes some of the work that you did in the off season, as far as getting them in shape, you know, they might have lost a lot of that just because they were, you know, enjoying their holidays a little bit too much. So, and they weren't keeping the work in on the court and stuff like that or off the court. But when they come back, it's, you know, the same thing. We immediately, it's right back to getting fit and making sure that we're on track with that and playing some more tennis. And then we get into that season, and ultimately everybody knows, hey, it's now or never. And, you know, we always kept in mind, I'm not too sure if you're familiar with Pat Tillman, but he played at Arizona State, and he got drafted into the NFL, and he played for the Arizona Cardinals. After 9/11 happened, he decided to drop his $26 million contract and join the Navy SEALs, and he ended up being killed in action by friendly fire. And if you just look at his story and read a little bit more about him, then you'll realize, you know, how motivational he is as far as, you know, what he lived for and what he stood by and his values and everything like that. And over the course of the year, we had what we called Tillman mode, where when we were working out or when we were on the court, when we knew that we needed to bust our butts, but we would put it into Tillman mode, and we would do it for a bigger purpose.
Coach, he was a very inspirational hero, and it's nice to hear that you guys can continue to draw inspiration from that story. And you know, it sounds like that your team isn't just a team that likes to have three balls thrown out there on the court. It sounds like it's a team that likes to have itself motivated and pushed into a direction.
Yeah, I definitely say that, you know, it takes a unique group of guys to all buy into something and to get everybody to buy into something. And with, you know, motivation like Pat Tillman and stuff, it's, you're kind of buying into something that's, you know, as I said, tennis ends, you know, eventually your tennis career in college and stuff like that ends. You can keep playing tournaments here and there, but I always tried to, you know, have the kids keep in mind that that there was something more to life, and the motivation that came from Pat Tillman and the inspiration and stuff kind of helped me help these kids you know learn from that and realize, you know, there's a lot more out there, and this is just a small glimpse, and competing, you know, at this high level and is just a small part of life. But that's why you want to do it to the fullest and always go 100%, you know, because you don't know how long you have.
No, that's exactly right, Coach. Now, Coach, when you get these, and I'm curious, I mean, how do you draw the attention of these international players? Is it based on reputation? Do you have to do a lot of heavy recruiting yourself, or how do they come about out to California?
You know what? A lot of the time, you know, a lot of it's reputation. We had a couple Australians that we got in, and based on the fact that, you know, about 7 years ago that one of the Australian players we had, he was coaching back in Australia, and he told these two kids that he was coaching, hey, if you guys are thinking about playing college tennis, you guys should go to Fresno City. And so that's how they heard about us. As far as my little brother's doubles partner, he's actually from a French island, and you wouldn't believe where this place is. It's right next to Madagascar. It's called Reunion Island. And, I mean, there's like 800,000 people that live on that island. And, I mean, I would always ask him, you know, how in the heck did you ever find out about Fresno City College? Like, just from, you know, and everything. And he just said, you know, the biggest thing is I knew I wanted to go to California. So he told his coach, you know, hey, I want to go to California because a lot of these foreigners, I think, you know, California is the greatest thing. I'm going to go to a beach and all this other stuff. And then he started looking up some, you know, different junior colleges and stuff like that and saw, hey, you know, Fresno City, they've been successful the last 2 years. I think I can add to that. And so that's what he did. He said, I'm going to Fresno City. Come to find out, he gets here, and there's not a beach within an hour of us. We're about two or 3 hours away from a beach, which, you know, he wasn't too sad about that once he won that state championship. But it was just kind of funny because he came out here with the mindset that he was going to be close to the beach or on the beach and this beautiful weather and all this other stuff. You know, Fresno tends to get pretty hot. I mean, it's about 100 degrees or more every day, and probably about 110 degrees on the court. So it was just a pretty funny experience for him to be coming from this beautiful, you know, French island, and then to have him come over here with this mindset of where he was going to be coming, to have it completely changed. But that all didn't matter after we won and after he was able to take second in the nation, you know, in doubles with my brother. And, I mean, Florida was, you know, that was a great experience for all of us, too, and we all, you know, got really close then. And that's when we really knew. When we had a kid in singles take second in the nation and my brother and, you know, his doubles partner take second in doubles, that's when we knew. We said, hey, if we keep on this trek, that, you know, this is how we're going to win it. We're going to win the whole thing this way. So,
yeah. When you start that spring season, Coach, is your schedule, when it's set up, again, does it have interdivisional opponents in the spring? Are the NCAA schools nice to you guys there in California? Do you get to play some Division IIs, some NAIA programs?
Yeah, we were able to, you know, have a couple of exhibition matches with them, you know, and stuff like that. We, you know, each year we play against Sonoma State and just some like couple of exhibition matches. Nothing, you know, nothing where it's like a full match as far as, you know, six singles, three doubles. I think usually it's pretty close to that, maybe like one or two players missing. But we also play the Santa Cruz Slugs and, you know, some other players that we're able to connect with and stuff like that. But all those matches, we actually, you know, Sonoma State's a D2, and they don't recruit any foreigners, but we actually beat their team, the Division II college, and also the Santa Cruz Slugs. So, I mean, as far as our team goes, we had a lot. I mean, it was probably our best year as far as talent goes.
The Santa Cruz Banana Slugs, they got the world's most famous mascot. And I say that because it appeared in a very famous movie, a Pulp Fiction. You know, it's funny to me that it was a tennis shirt that appeared. It was a tennis shirt that appeared in that movie. But that program is historically a very strong program, Coach.
Yeah, I know they won the national championship, you know, a few years in a row and stuff like that, and they've always recruited a lot of great talent. So, you know, wins like that for us, they were a big confidence builder going into the season, and really, you know, also helped us prepare for, you know, these tougher matches that we were going to be seeing.
Coach, you mentioned that you guys play in the NorCal division of the California JUCOs. Is the schedule set up where you have some home and aways, or do you you have, but you mentioned American River. Do you play them at home and then travel to play them, or how is that set up for you guys up there?
Correct. All the people that we play in our division, we play them home and away. So we're making, you know, we have two matches with each of these teams. We go to Sacramento, Modesto, Bakersfield, some of these other colleges. And we also have a tournament in the second semester where a lot of these we call it the North versus South tournament. Every year we hold it in Fresno. We've been doing it for the past 10 years. And a lot of the, you know, SoCal talent that we don't see usually until the end of the year, they come down and we're able to, you know, play for two straight days. And it's kind of crazy because we actually play three matches every day. Three matches every day, I believe.
Wow. That's some pretty intense stuff. And the weather in Fresno, you said 100 degrees.
Yeah, it gets pretty hot. You know, during that time, it really tests the kids' bodies and, you know, how in shape they are. And they need to be, you know, eating right and getting hydrated during that time and making sure that, you know, they're really fit. Because a lot of the time you get to day two, you're on those, you know, last matches. I know we had a few guys cramping and so did the other guys' team and stuff like that, but we were always able to pull through. You're really, really running on fumes at that point, you know?
And Coach, as you look back on that spring season, is there a particular time period or a match that you can look back on and you could say, you know what, I really think that we've got a really solid chance here to actually win this state championship?
You know, and I'd have to say that we really put ourselves on the map and, you know, obviously the past 2 years as far as winning the state championship, everybody was out for us, out to get us and really wanted us, and we knew that. But when we had that tournament, the North versus South, we really, you know, were trying to get a look and feel for, you know, who's going to be our competition in the South. We were pretty confident about ourselves in the North. We had some good competition in American River College. But as far as, you know, being able to see some of the talent that came from the South, we you know, played at different colleges down there. My brother and his doubles partner played, you know, two kids that they actually had to play against in Florida and had a, you know, tough three-set match in Florida in doubles, and they beat them there. And they also beat them again in that North versus South tournament because they were one of the representatives from the South for the national tournament in Florida. So, We just really got a great feel for, you know, who our competition was going to be and what it was going to look like. We never played the team. The team wasn't there that we ended up playing in the state final. But we knew, you know, some of the scores that the teams that came down that played, you know, that team that we ended up playing in the state final and stuff like that. So it was definitely just a great feeler.
Well, let me ask you, Coach. I mean, you have 16 guys on your team. You're 58-0 in the last 3 years, and I mean, you've got to be losing some players from this year's team. So, how many guys will you end up losing from your state championship team?
You know what? We have about I believe we're losing three, actually, of our top six from the last year, you know. So we're losing our three, our five, and our six. We're losing our three, four, five, six. So we're only going to have two of our top six, but we do have a player that was on the team the year before that won the state championship that didn't play this last year that will be, you know, playing, and, you know, some other great talent that we're going to be having coming in and stuff like that. So we hope to be, you know, a strong competitor again this year. But as far as the competition goes and stuff like that, we won't be as good as we were last year. But we can always recoup, you know, for January. We can get some good talent coming in January, hopefully. So we're definitely not out of the picture, but we have some work to do. But that's nothing new for us, and that's how we like it.
Coach, that's the joy and the pain of being a junior college coach is you got to load and reload every couple of years.
Yeah.
And
it
sounds like that the reputation of Fresno City kind of helps with that reloading.
Yeah, you know, as you said, and the experience that you have as a junior college coach, you know, you don't get these guys for 4 years. You know, you see them for two, and, you know, it's sad, but it's also great. You know, you get to coach these kids and move them on to a four-year college where, you know, you can check out their progress there, and you really get them prepared, you know, mentally, physically, and you get them, you know, ready and hitting those books so that they get a good scholarship to these different colleges, you know. It's always, you know, sad to see these guys go because you do get a strong relationship in the, you know, year or two that you get with them, but it's always good to see them moving on to bigger and better things.
Well, Coach, now let me ask you that. It brings up a great point. I mean, it seems like you're getting the support of colleges and universities to have your kids transfer out.
Sorry, say that again, please.
I see. It seems like that as your kids graduate from their Fresno City experience, that you're getting a lot of support from whether it's local or state universities for these kids to transfer out and continue playing.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we've had, you know, quite a few kids where we have multiple kids transfer to one school, and. You know, that's always good because we have a great reputation and they know they're coming from a winning college where, you know, these kids, they know what they're doing. They know how to be leaders. They know how to win. And that's what these coaches want. They don't want someone that is just going to come in there and, you know, be asking to be hand-fed. And they want someone that's going to come in and work and want to improve their game and, you know, they're a good student and athlete.
Well, Hank, can you tell me through the years where some of these Fresno City College kids have ended up? I mean, what universities, what colleges?
Most recently, we have a kid that was from Australia. Last year, he was on the team. He won the state championship, and he transferred to Santa Clara University. We have a few kids that are at Montana State, a couple kids that went to Kansas school in Kansas there. Fresno Pacific is a lot of has gotten a lot of our players as well. And Sonoma State has recruited some of our players. As I said, I went to a school in New York, Marist College.
Yeah.
And there's some we have three kids transferring to small D2 school in San Diego, where they're going to be playing. They were on the team this last year, so we always try to get these kids a place, you know, to play in a new home, and we're always able to find them one.
Well, Coach, I got to ask. I mean, is this your full-time job? I mean, as a JUCO coach, is this your full-time job as the college coach?
You know what? For quite a while I was doing, you know, trying to pay off my school loans and stuff like that. I was doing door-to-door sales for quite a while, and I actually would do it with my brother over the summers in different cities and states, and we were in Virginia and Kansas and Texas and Washington. And so we've kind of been all over the place together, and that's what really built our bond. And that's, you know, what I was doing for quite a while. And then during the season, I just, you know, during our first, our two semesters, you know, that's just what I dedicated all my time to. You know, I really wanted these kids to be prepared, and I really wanted to keep the Fresno City tradition going, and I didn't want to come in and, you know, be the coach to kill that. I wanted to keep it going and try to make it better if I could.
Coach, I mean, is this this sounds like a love-oriented job for you. I mean, this is something you really have a passion for.
Yeah, it's I mean, just coaching these kids and stuff like that is, you know, really it really was, you know, a great experience. It really, you can really, you know, see that you can make a difference in these guys' lives and really try to point them in the right direction and have, you know, whatever impact you can on them while you have them. And you know, the best thing, you know, was right at the end of the year. That's when you could see, you know, everybody felt it coming to an end, and it was bittersweet. You know, we won the state championship, and when our guys went into the individuals of the state and for singles and doubles, you know, it didn't, you know, a lot of the time, you know, tennis is looked at as an individual sport, and when you bring that team aspect into it and you really bring these guys together, you kind of get the result, you know, we did, you know. After we won that state championship, you know, we were just really happy, and we definitely competed hard in the singles and doubles, but, you know, we came for that team title. We didn't come for, you know, individual accolades. And that was the biggest testament to, you know, how close we were as a team. You know, we cheered each other on, you know, when it came to the individual part, but we definitely had one thing in mind, and it never was, you know, our individual title or anything like that. That always came second.
Coach, you've got, I mean, we're into August. How much longer do you have to enjoy this 2014 national championship?
You know, I'm actually going to be turning over the reins back over to Coach Luke. He was, you know, he was over at Fresno Pacific for a little while. But I'm going to be helping out and still be out there here and there. But as far as enjoying it, I'm, you know, we're going to be getting to the state championship rings pretty soon. I'll still have, you know, a long time to, you know, reflect and think about this, but the team will be, you know, under some new reins pretty soon. I wouldn't say it's the end of my, you know, coaching career, but I have, you know, been hired on to with the sheriff's department that I'm doing right now. So that's where I'm, you know, headed as far as right now goes.
Coach, am I understanding this correctly? You're going to want to pull a Marion Bartoli here. You're going to win Wimbledon and then somewhat retire here.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I asked, are you kind of pulling a Marion Bartoli here? You're going to win Wimbledon and then retire?
Yeah, you know, I sometimes when you have something, you know, that happens so perfect and so great, you know, some people think, well, you know what, keep going, and you know, I had, you know, as a JUCO coach, you're not getting paid the biggest bucks. But as far as my experience went, I honestly wouldn't have traded it for, you know, $1 million. Honestly, I couldn't have asked for, you know, anything to go better, and you know, the experience overall was amazing. I can't really put it into words, and I mean, sometimes when it's right, it's just right, you know.
Yeah. Coach, is it going to be now your brother? Is he coming back as a sophomore, or is he done there at Fresno City?
He's done there at Fresno City. He's played his 2 years. He's got a few colleges that have been contacting him. As far as, you know, where he's going, he's still undecided. And he might either transfer, you know, coming up but probably in January.
Well, Coach, you know, I want to thank you for coming on today. It's an incredible story and just for me, an educational experience here. You know, being here in Texas as a JUCO coach, we always thought that you California guys were just a little bit different, and to come to find out, you're not much different at all.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, we don't want to have, you know, this mindset of, we don't work hard or any of that. You know, speaking on my team's behalf and my players, you know, we put in the work. I can't express that enough. We put in the time, we put in the work, and, you know, there wasn't a day that we didn't go all out there, and we always put in 110%, and it was always Tillman mode out of Fresno City College.
Yeah.
We have a train that goes right by our courts, and it's really loud. And we told all the players, you know, we said, you know, whenever that train goes by, Pat Tillman's on that train, and he's watching us, and that's when we knew. And that when we heard that train coming, you didn't even have to say anything. You saw all those players. All of a sudden, after they were going 110%, they kicked it up another notch that you didn't think they had. And that's when it was really beast mode.
But you got a bright future in front of you. You know how to motivate a group of young people. You know how to inspire them, and you know, you need to stick in this sport and keep it up, because you know, in just an hour today, you can realize you've got a true passion for what you're doing, and I know it. I completely understand what you're saying about the JUCO experience. You know, it's not the world's most highest paying job. It's not the most glamorous job. But those kids, they work their tail ends off. And 58-0 is something that a lot of Division I coaches will never experience. A state championship, there are a lot of Division I coaches that will never experience that. And to inspire those young boys, young men, and get them to move from point A to point B, and to reward themselves the way you've done, you deserve several pats on the back, Hank.
I really appreciate you having me come on, and I really appreciate the kind words, and especially this radio show you got going on. I just think it's great that, you know, you're really spreading the word about tennis and these stories that don't get much attention. I think that it's really great of you to do that, and I can't express, you know, my thanks enough to you.
Well, you bet, Hank, and you know, I look forward to it. Someday I think we'll be talking again, and I think we'll have another chapter in this Hank Bessinger story.
That sounds great. We'll be in contact.
All right, Hank. You have a great day, and take care of yourself and that brother of yours.
All right, will do. Thank you very much.
You bet. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's Coach Hank Bessinger. Hank, in and of himself, somewhat of an inspiration here. He takes a group of young men and leads them on an undefeated journey. And inspires them with American stories of American heroes, and gets them, like I said, from point A to point B, and then, you know, in a strange twist of events, he goes out on top. I mean, that's the way it should be, and so excited that he He gave an hour of his time to come in today and tell us about Fresno City College. You know, we don't hear about those California JUCOs often, and just excited that we got to spend some time learning about those young men and their story out there and what goes on. It is a division in college tennis, and it needs its own exposure. Those boys, they battle on that court every day just like the Division I's do. They hit three tennis balls in a match. They go 78 feet in distance, 27 feet across, that net's 3 feet tall. When the Gatorade bath comes from the coach, it means just as much there as it does for Coach Smith at USC. Just excited that we got to tell the story today. And you know, championships are what we're about here in the summer on this show. And we're going to continue on with that. Next week we're going to bring in the NCAA Division I Women's Team Champion coach. That's right, all the way from UCLA, Stella Sampras-Webster. She's going to come in and tell us her team's story. And it'll be a great one again, and we're going to find out about that big water main break over there at UCLA and see how that campus, that complex avoided that. But we're looking forward to that next week and want to encourage you to go outside and hit some tennis balls today. It is summer. It is August. It is hot. We'll get out there sometime and hit some tennis balls, people, and keep on listening to the UR Tennis Network. Thanks, and have a great day. Bye-bye.